I'll tell you about the best job I ever had. Like, this is a job I didn't have to work to love. I just loved it. Here's the odd thing. I'll tell you up front. My paycheck for doing this job, every time I did it, was $8. Total, $8. Best job I ever had. I lived for 1 year in Louisville, Kentucky. And in Louisville, I got hooked up with a job that I was a taste tester for Kentucky Fried Chicken. For real. I would go in once in a while. They would like call me and I would come in and they would just like say, eat this chicken. What'd you think? Was it too crispy? Was it too soft? Eat this chicken. They would just keep putting chicken in front of me. And then at the end they would say, here's your pay. And they would give me $8 and I'd be like, thank you very much. Best job ever. But here's the deal. Most of us don't love our jobs, right? Most of us hate our jobs. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we go from hating our job to loving our job to having kind of a I gotta take this job and shove it kind of attitude and transform that into a take this job and love it kind of attitude. And the cool thing about this and the whole series is that God cares about this. You know, a lot of us, I think, we think that God and the Bible, all they care about and talk about is like going to church and going to heaven. Right? But actually, God cares about every aspect of our lives. And the Bible talks about like all kinds of stuff. And for us, or at least I can say for me, I realize some of you are like, man, I don't even believe in God. I'm just kind of checking this out. That's cool. We're glad you're here. But for me, man, I want God to be involved in every part of my life. Right? At Verb, we talk about being God stalkers. The idea is that we're not going to leave God alone. Like wherever I go, I want God with me and I want to be a part of that. And so how do we make God a part of our job, which is a big chunk of our life, right? You hate your job. That is not good because you spend a lot of time there. Here's something interesting. USA Today did a survey, and they asked people if they liked their job or not, and they found that 82% of people hate their jobs. The Princeton Management Group did a survey, and they asked business executives, they said, what do you think is the number one trait in a person being a success at work? And what they discovered is that the number one answer by far, 80.6% of executives said that the number one trait to be successful is enthusiasm, passion, having a job you love, that when you show up, it's like, I want to do this. I don't have to. I want to. That's what leads to success. And so if we're going to do good, we need to love our jobs. And we want to love our jobs, but most of us hate our jobs. That's why our fantasy is to quit, right? Why people dream of early retirement. And if you ever ask, what would you do if you won the lottery? First answer, I would quit my job. I would quit it so fast, they would know what happened. I would never work again. And that's why we need this series and why we need to talk about this, because that's not the way God wants us to approach our work or feel about our jobs. It's also not the way that God approaches his work. It's interesting, in the opening chapters of the Bible, we see God at work. We see that God works and does things, and we kind of see God's attitude about his work, because in the opening chapters, God creates, and there's this kind of recurring thing that happens where God created such and such, and then at the end of that day of work, God says, this is good. It's like God kind of celebrates his work and what he accomplished and has this great attitude about it. And then the next day it says God, you know, separated the land from the water. And then at the end of the day, God looks at his work and he says, that was good. And he celebrates work. There's an author I like a lot named John Ortberg. And he writes about this and he wonders, what would it be like if God approached his work the way we approach our work? Like, how might those opening chapters of the Bible be different? Now, I want to read to you what he wrote. It's great. He says, maybe the Bible would read like this. If God had the same attitude about work that we have, it might say, in the beginning, it was 9 o'clock. So God had to go to work. He filled out a requisition to separate light from darkness. He considered making stars to beautify the night and planets to fill the skies, but thought it sounded like too much work. And besides, thought God, it's not my job. So he decided to knock off early and call it a day, and he looked at what he had done and said, it'll have to do. On the second day, God separated the waters from the dry land, and he made all the dry land flat, plain, and functional, so that, behold, the whole earth looked like Idaho. He thought about making mountains and valleys and glaciers and jungles and forests, but he decided it wouldn't be worth the effort. And God looked at what he had done that day and said, it'll have to do. And God made a pigeon to fly in the air and a carp to swim in the waters and a cat to creep upon dry ground. And God thought about making millions of other species of all sizes and shapes and colors, but he couldn't drum up any enthusiasm for any other animals. In fact, he wasn't too crazy about the cat. Besides, it was almost time for the late show, so God looked at all he had done, and God said, "It'll have to do." At the end of the week, God was seriously burned out, so he breathed a big sigh of relief and said, "Thank me, it's Friday." And that's not the way that God approaches his work at all, right? It's not, we see this joy that God has with his job, and that's actually the way that God wants us to approach work too. That we would value work and we would enjoy our jobs, and a lot of people don't think that, right? In fact, even if you go to churches, in some churches you will hear this teaching that work is actually a part of man's curse for sinning back in the Garden of Eden. The idea, they'll say, is that there was this perfect paradise called Eden, true, and that man in the garden sinned against God, true, and that there are consequences for the sin, true, Bible teaches that too, and that one of the consequences is that the man and the woman, they had to work. Not true. That's not what the Bible says. In the Garden of Eden, when God had it just the way he wanted, before there was any sin, before there were any problems, still God gave people work. They had work to do. The Garden of Eden was not some sort of like Club Med where Adam and Eve were laying on lounge chairs drinking exotic cocktails with little umbrellas coming out of them and saying, "Waiter, give me some more ceviche." It wasn't like that at all. They had work to do in the Garden of Eden because work is actually a part of God's perfect plan for our lives. God wants us to work because it's part of his perfect plan for our lives. But a lot of us, man, that is the furthest from our thinking, right? We'd quit if we could. We wish we had a different job. We do wish we didn't have to work at all. And so how do we change that attitude? How do we go from whatever job you're going to tonight, tomorrow, how do we go from that being a job that we kind of hate to being a job we love? How do we kind of transform from having a take this job and shove it attitude to having a take this job and love it kind of attitude? Here's what I'm going to do. I want to teach you three principles from the Bible. And I think I can promise you that if you really embrace these principles and apply them to your life, it will completely transform your attitude about your job. Totally. Now, you have another option. You can listen and you can kind of nod and you can go, "Yeah, that makes sense. I guess that's good." And then not actually apply this and it will have no impact on your life. But if you actually embrace these principles, apply them to your life, it will transform your attitude about your job. All right? So here we go. Principle number one is this. You work for God. You work for God. Your boss is not your boss. Your boss is God. Now, I'll pause there because I know what you're thinking. Some of you might be thinking, "I don't even believe in God." Again, cool. We understand. We're very glad you're here. But a lot of us are like, no. Wait. I believe in God. I mean, that is why I'm here. I believe in God. And I mean, I love God. And I'm trying to serve God with my life. But I don't work for God. I work for my boss, and you should meet him. He's a jerk, right? We don't work for God. We work for our boss, and we love God, maybe serve God. Au contraire, mon frère. That is actually not the case. What the Bible teaches is that we work for God, that our true boss is God. So let me show you one of the places the Bible says this. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Which is in kind of the middle of the New Testament of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, you're fine. We'll put the verses on the screen. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, man, we give them out for free at the Welcome Center. So just stop on your way out and grab one, and we'd love to give you that as a gift and free. So here's the deal. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. It says this. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." And so what it says is, you work for God. Your boss is not your boss. Your boss is actually God. And I'll tell you, if you really grasp onto that, and it's true, it will transform your attitude about your work. Think about it this way. For a minute, I want you to picture in your mind your favorite person. Okay, your favorite person. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's your mother. I don't know, whoever your favorite person is, okay? All right, got that person? Got it? Now I want you to picture your least favorite person. Okay? Like in the Bible, God tells us not to hate, but if he ever changes his mind, this is the person. You know, you're just waiting for God to change his mind on this one. And so your least favorite person, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's Osama bin Laden. Maybe it's your mother. In-law? I don't know. One of those. So you got those two people in your mind, right? All right. So let's say tomorrow you go to a brand new job. You don't know much about the company. You need a job. You got hired. You're going to work. So you go in. You sit at your desk. It's first day. And your boss comes in, your supervisor. And to your absolute shock and dismay, it's your least favorite person. Like somehow Osama bin Laden is your boss or your mother. In-law is your supervisor, okay? And you're like, seriously? And you realize, I have to work for my least favorite person. Now, if you're trying to live by God's word, by the Bible, you would still want to have a good attitude, and you'd still want to work your hardest, and you'd still want to do your best. But let's just be honest. It'd be hard, right? I mean, you realize, man, all the work I put in, all the extra hours I might put in, all the great customer service I'm trying to provide for people, it's all for him? For her, like they're going to be the recipients of all my hard labor and the reward from that. And so it would be hard to motivate yourself and have a good attitude, right? Honestly. But let's say at the end of that first day of work, you discover that the person who owns the company, who owns the business, is actually your favorite person, like your best friend or your mother. In-law? One of them. It's like, you're shocked. You had no idea. It blows your mind. But your favorite person actually owns the company. Instant change in thinking, right? Well, like when you go to sleep that night thinking about your job, you're thinking, well, I gotta be there at the office with so-and-so. But truly, the person who is going to benefit from my labor, the person who's going to reap the rewards, the person who's going to sleep well at night because they know that I'm working for them and I will do my job right, the person who's going to benefit is my favorite person. And so you'd probably be able to go to work with a smile on your face, even if your supervisor, because you know who owns this company. Right? See how it would change your attitude? And it's the same here. What the Bible teaches is that everything you do it for God, and that the person who will most benefit from you doing your job well and having a great attitude is not your human boss, but God. Man, that's a game changer. And so if you really embrace and apply that, if tomorrow you go to work thinking, man, my boss is not my boss, God is my boss. I work for God, not for any human. All right? They may sign my paycheck, but I work for God. Changes your attitude. Totally does. All right, second principle is this. It's that God wants to impact your life through your work. God wants to impact your life through your work. The way Christians might say this, God wants to bless you through your work. And bless is kind of a churchy word, but basically it means that God wants to do something for you that maybe only God can do for you. And it's true, God wants to bless you through your work. You may not think that way. You know, you might kind of think work is just something I have to do. Work has nothing to do with God. But God has everything to do with your job. And your job is part of God's perfect plan for your life. And part of the reason for that is God wants to bless you through your work. And there might be all kinds of ways that God does that in your life. It may be, you know, through the income you receive, that's one of the ways God's blessing you through your work. It might be through the friends that you meet there. It might be through the self-esteem you develop because you realize, man, I'm good at this. I've got some skills. I can accomplish things when I put my heart into it. It may be the sense of accomplishment you get at the end of each day because you accomplished something and you did a good job and you leave feeling better about yourself. It may be through the experience you gain. And it carries over into the rest of your life. And later you look back and say, man, I'm so glad I had that job tasting chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken, because it's really changed my, maybe not that job, but that you have experience that changes your life. It might be through the bad experiences that you have at work and the horrible circumstances you deal with, because maybe that builds your character, or maybe that forces you to look to God and to pray more and to really seek his help and to be dependent on him, because, man, that's where I want to be in life. And so God wants to bless you through your work. He wants to impact your life through your work. Now, my guess is that probably some of you are thinking, then why isn't it happening? If God wants to bless me through my job, why aren't I feeling like God is blessing me at my job? Because I don't feel that way. That's a good question. Maybe it's that you're not looking for it. I think it's true that God does all kinds of things in life and in our lives that we're absolutely just ignorant of. We're oblivious to it. We don't realize that God's trying to do something. We're just not looking for it. And so maybe the problem is you're not looking for it. You're so focused on the circumstances and on what you don't like that you're ignoring what God's doing in you and through you at that workplace. And so you're missing out on what God's already doing. It also may be, though, that maybe you're just not asking for it. The Bible actually teaches that that sometimes we miss out on something God wants to do in our life, like a blessing that God wants to give us, simply because we don't ask. It's true. We talk about here that, you know, God is a gentleman, and he doesn't force himself on us. And so there may be some times where God finds ways he can bless us without our asking, but there's a lot of times where God's going to wait until we ask, and then he'll honor our asking. And so maybe you're not getting blessed at work because you're not asking God to bless you at work. Think about this. Let's say tomorrow you're like driving to work, or whenever you go to work, right? And you're driving there, and instead of your normal deal, where maybe you just drive in singing songs on the radio and not even think, or maybe you go in just kind of grumbling. I can't believe I have to go back there and spend like 9 more hours there. This sucks, man. And my boss, what kind of attitude is he going to have? And just all the problems you're going to have, right? What if instead you go to work with a totally different mindset, and you're actually kind of praying? And so what if you were to kind of pray, God, here's the deal. I now realize, I never did, but that me having a job is actually part of your perfect plan for my life. And it's kind of hard for me to fathom, but I now understand you're my boss, not my boss, my human boss. And so, God, I want to do this for you, right? I want to honor you as my boss. And God, I realize that you want to bless me through my work. That's what you teach us. And so, man, I've been missing it. But would you show me where you're blessing me? And God, would you bless me? Like, would you be with me today in a special way? And would you help me to get a lot out of whatever happens, good or bad, and to really grow as a person and grow closer to you, and just bless me through my work today? If you went in with that attitude and praying that prayer, do you think your day might be different? Totally would, wouldn't it? I mean, it would just totally transform your attitude. And instead of just walking in there with a, man, take this job and shove it, if I could, I'd quit today, you might start to transform and develop this attitude of, man, I kind of love this job, and I'm excited to be here. I really think it will happen. I'm going to give you an example, a little bit of a time it happened in my life. So, third principle, ready? So first principle, God's your boss. You're working for God. Second principle, God wants to impact your life through your job. And third principle is this, that God wants to impact others through your job. That God wants to bless other people through your work. And this is a big deal. I mean, we could even not talk about the first two principles, just talk about this one. And this should totally change your attitude when you go to work every day. I mean, so many people hate their jobs, right? 82% of people hate their jobs. And they're depressed about having to go in and spend time there. And you know, it just stinks. But if we could just get a handle on this one thing, I really think it would change everything. So let me tell it to you this way. Let's think about it this way. If you study the history of warfare, which isn't a lot of fun, you probably shouldn't, but if you did, what you'd find is, and we know this, that a lot of times a country, an army, will torture the prisoners of war that they capture. It's illegal, it's unfortunate, but it happens. Okay? And throughout the history of war, there is one form of torture that has been proven very effective. What an army will do with their prisoners of war is they'll hand a guy, a prisoner, a shovel. And a soldier will tell him, I want you to dig me a hole right here. You know, this many feet deep, this many feet wide. And so the person starts digging. And finally, after a day or two of digging, they have the hole right. And they're kind of feeling good about it. You know what? I don't like doing it for him, but at least I did the job right. And I've accomplished it. I'm done with my work. And it's at that point that the soldier smiles and hands him back the shovel and says, now fill it in. Shovel full by shovel full, fill it in. Kind of weird, but he fills it in. And when he gets done, he kind of feels good about that. All right, I finished the job. And the soldier says, all right, let me take you over to where we're going to put hole number 2. Start digging. And he digs. And when he gets done digging the hole, he says, all right, now fill it in. And when you're done with that, I'm going to take you to hole number 3. What they found is this. When you apply that form of torture, and nothing else, right? You don't have to put a gun to the person's head. You don't have to starve the person. You don't have to physically abuse the person. Just that. I mean, typically when people are experiencing that form of torture, they're eating well, they're sleeping well, they're getting good exercise. But just by doing that to a captured soldier, that a lot of them, sometimes a majority of them, will go clinically insane. Just from digging holes and filling holes in. Why? Why would a normally very healthy, emotionally stable person go crazy just from digging holes and filling them in? I mean, you just think, what's the big deal, man? Just kind of suck it up and say, all right, that's what I'm going to have to do every day. I'm going to have to dig a hole and fill it in. It's not a big deal, right? Just dig holes and fill them in. But that's not what happens. What happens is they go clinically insane. Why? Because their work has no purpose. Because their work has no purpose. And to people who are made in the image of a purposeful God, it is maddening to do work that has no purpose. It is. And we realize, when we think about our jobs, we realize it's got some purpose. I mean, whether we make things or move things or sell things or whatever it is we do, we realize somebody has to do it. You know, it has some purpose, but not much purpose. And so we don't go clinically insane, but we may go half crazy at our jobs, right? We may go half mad with boredom because our jobs just don't have purpose. There's not a high enough treasure at work to fill us with purpose for what we do and put all that time and energy into. But there's an answer. And the answer is that God wants to impact the lives of other people through your work. Let me show you a story in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 4. If you have a Bible, and again, we'll put the verse on the screen. But in this story, what's going to happen is we're going to see Jesus come up to some commercial fishermen. My father, for a while, was a commercial fisherman. He owned a boat. Most of his life, he was a professional poker player here in Las Vegas. But he went through a stage where we lived in Florida. He bought a big boat, and just that's what he did for a living. And so there were a lot of days where I went out with him. I was 10, 11 years old. And we would go out, and we would fish for 8-9 hours. And we would catch lots of grouper and occasionally a shark. And it was exciting when you caught a shark, but pretty much the most boring days of my entire life. To sit there for 8 hours, casting out, reeling in, casting out, reeling in. It was like, oh. And these guys in the story, they know what that's like. That's their life every day, just going out, casting out, reeling in, right? They know what it's like to be bored with work and to feel like, man, what am I doing with my life? Seriously, this is it. And so look at what happens in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. You know what? If Jesus came up to you at work, I believe he would make the same exact invitation. See, here's the deal. The reason we go to work is because of the treasure we receive, the reward we receive, and the reward is the paycheck, right? That's why we work, because of the money. But the money you receive is not nearly a high enough treasure to fill your soul with purpose and to make you feel like it's worth going there. And so we hate our jobs. There's another time when Jesus was talking, and he said, you know, most people believe that the highest treasure in life is money. But it's not. There's much higher treasure. God and people. People are a much greater treasure than money. And so here's the deal. When you go to work every day and the treasure you're going there for is the paycheck, that is not a high enough treasure to fill your soul with purpose and to motivate you and to help you love your job. But there is a greater treasure at your job. And it's the people you work for, the people you work with, the people you serve, you know, and the people who you sell your products to. It's the people at your work. Now, there's something really interesting. Being a pastor now for 15, 16 years, I've had a lot of people who they become Christians and they just really get it. I mean, some people just get it, man, and they realize this is unbelievable. I mean, God loves me despite all I've done. And I mean, this is amazing. And their lives are turned upside down, which they should. That's right. And one of the things that often happens is they'll come up to me and they'll say, man, I'm thinking maybe I need to like quit my job and go into ministry because I don't care anymore about like the paycheck and I just want to help people. I want people to experience what I have with God and so maybe I should quit my job and go into ministry. And you know, for some people, for a few people, I think that may be the right path and that may be what God's calling them to. But for most people, the thing I would say is, and you don't need to quit your job and go into ministry because your job is a ministry. The thing about your job is you're not supposed to go there for the paycheck. I mean, the paycheck is nice. We need the paycheck. But you go there for the people. The real purpose of our jobs, and I think it's what Jesus is saying in that story, the real purpose of our jobs is to represent God to the people there and to love people with the love of God there. And to look for opportunities occasionally to get to share with people about the love of God and the impact it's had in my life. And man, maybe you should come with me to my church because I think it could change your life too. Right? And we don't do that in an obnoxious way. If you do, please don't tell them that you go to Verve. You know, we don't look down on people. We don't, you know, just in a very graceful way, when their opportunity is right, we just say, man, just God's made all the difference in my life. Man, it's just really changed. You should come and check it out. It's different. You'd love it. Right? We look for those opportunities because Jesus says, man, it's not about fishing for fish. It's not about the paycheck. It's about fishing for men. It's about loving people enough, caring about people enough that we want to serve them. We want them to see God in us. And if possible, we'd love for them to know God and to connect with him the way we have. I like the way the Bible talks about this in another New Testament book called 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll put this up on the screen too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he's writing to people who have accepted God and have chosen God, right? And he says this. He says, but you are a chosen people. It's like God chose you. You chose God. A royal priesthood. He's not writing, by the way, to priests. He's writing to ordinary people like you and me. And he's saying, you're a royal priesthood. He says, you are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And what he's saying is, listen, if you've chosen God, you're different. You're not the same anymore. You're not the same as everyone else. God's called you out of darkness to be light in the darkness. And so you don't have to go and into ministry and work in a church. You can stay in the job you're at and let people see the light of God in you. Let them see the love of God in you. And there's all different ways that we can impact other people through our jobs, that we can bless people through our work. Like, part of it is just doing a good job. You know, being somebody at your work who does the job right, it puts in their hours and doesn't lie or cheat or steal and just does it right, because then, man, you're serving people by giving them a good product and giving them good service. And you have a boss who maybe worries about the other employees but doesn't have to worry about you. Another part of it might be praying for the people you work with. If you are a follower of Jesus, did you ever think that you may be the only person praying for some of the people that you work with? That's a big deal, right? And it's possible that God has strategically put you in that workplace because there's no one else who's going to pray for the people that you work with. And so maybe that's why you're there, to pray for those people. That's a huge deal. Another part of how you can bless people at work is through your character, right? There's this another book in the New Testament called Titus, and in Titus it's talking about Christians at work, and it talks about how we need to prove ourselves trustworthy at work, and then in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, so that, here's why you have to prove yourself trustworthy, so that in every way you may make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. And so what it's saying is, the way you conduct yourself, the way you live your life, the way you do your job, it shows people who God is. And it makes God attractive. They're like, man, if you're like that, I want to know the God that you're serving. I want to know the God that you've given your life to. And they're drawn to God through your example. And when that happens, there's another way you get to impact the lives of others, which is maybe to tell them a little bit about God and what he's done in your life and how his love has transformed you. When I was in college, I worked at a movie theater. And at first, I was like, I love the job. I was like, I get free movies. I can go to every movie I want. And it was like, this is going to be great. And pretty quickly, I realized it wasn't that great. I worked for management who were just jerks and didn't know what they were doing. It was just frustrating. And just all kinds of stuff about it. I was like, this is not a good job. But I was also a new Christian. Real new Christian. And I knew this stuff. I was reading the Bible and learning, and so I was like, okay, man, having a job is part of God's perfect plan for my life, and so I need to have the right attitude about this. And I realized I'm not working for my boss. It's okay if my management are just whatever, because my real boss is God, and I'm working to please him, not these people. And I realized that God wanted to bless me through my work, and so I would drive to work going, God, I'm just going to be honest, I hate this job. But please help me have a different attitude, because I know you want to do things in my life through this job. And so help me to see what you're doing. And would you do some stuff in my life today at work? And I knew that God wanted me to impact the lives of others through my job, that to bless others through my work. And so I would say, God, give me some opportunities. One time, after working there a while, there was this new guy that started working named Ryan. I came into work one day, and somebody was like, man, Ryan's working today. I'm like, who's Ryan? They're like, you haven't worked with him yet? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, man, it's crazy. Ryan was a short, he's probably like 5'3", Chinese bodybuilder. He was huge. I mean, just like walk, I mean, boom. And he was mean, like kind of crazy mean. Like he would just wanted to intimidate people and scare people. And so he would threaten to beat up coworkers, just all kinds of weird stuff. And he would just pick people. Like every day he would just kind of pick somebody who he was going to be a jerk to. And like he would stare at you across the lobby, just stare and stare and stare. And then when you like started looking back at him, he would take a broom, because he always had brooms around in a movie theater, and he would just break it across his leg and just stare at you. And so everybody was freaking out about Ryan. So I get there that first day, they're like, he's horrible, man, keep your distance, like seriously. And so we kind of get together and they're like, all right, well, who's going to clean theaters 1 through 4 today? They kind of break up that way. And Ryan was like, I'll do 1 through 4. I'm like, I'll do 1 through 4. And everybody's like, are you nuts? And I just decided I'm just going to be friends with Ryan. And so every chance I got, I worked with Ryan. I hung out with Ryan. I would talk with Ryan. And he would be mean to me, and I'd just laugh about it and wouldn't let it intimidate me, and I'd make fun of him and say whatever. And over time, and it took a while, but I kind of broke Ryan down, and he just started to like me, and it just kind of changed over time. And finally, after like I think a year and a half of working together, I was graduating from college, and he was graduating from high school. And so I was going to go to law school. I did go to law school at the University of Illinois. He was going to college at the University of Miami in Ohio. And we were both lived in Buffalo, New York. Woo, Buffalo! No? Okay. So I said to Ryan, I said, are you going to have a car at school? And he said, nope. And I said, oh, do you need a ride home like for holidays and stuff? And he's like, I guess, what do you mean? And I said, well, I can come get you and I can drive you back to Buffalo. He said, are the schools close, Illinois and Miami, Ohio? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, how close are they? I said, I have no idea. He said, what if it's like a 6 or 8 hour drive for you to get from your school to my school? Because I know then it's another 8 hour drive to get back to Buffalo. And I was like, then I'll drive 6 or 8 hours and come get you. He's like, you seriously would do that for me? I said, yeah. I said, all right, do it. And I said, fine. And so that Thanksgiving, I drove 6 hours or whatever it was, I think it was 5 hours, from Illinois to Miami, Ohio to pick up Ryan. And then we get in the car and we've got like an 8 hour drive to Buffalo. And Ryan turns to me and says, all right, tell me. And I said, tell you what? And he said, tell me. I know you want to tell me. I said, tell you what? And he said, I know you're a Christian. There's something different about you. Tell me what it is. And I said, seriously? And he said, tell me. And I said, all right. And I had 8 hours, which isn't a lot of time. I was like, you shouldn't have asked that, dude. You should have waited at least a little while. And we talked for 8 hours, and I answered his questions and whatever, and it was very clear just that for him it was about how I treat him at work and that I didn't act like everybody else did towards him at work. And at the end of the 8 hours, he said, I want it. I want it. I want Jesus. And I said, you sure? He said, yeah. And he said, what do? I said, you get baptized. 2 days later, we went to a church. First person I ever baptized in my life. The pastor told me how to do it. And man, this guy's humongous. Like I put him down in the water. I couldn't get him out. I'm like, but man, it was because I didn't quit my job. And I prayed every day and said, God, I want to embrace and apply these principles. So you're my boss. You're going to bless me through work. I want to bless other people through work. There was another girl who worked at that movie theater. She sold tickets. And I honestly would say she was the saddest person I ever met in my life. Like just every day I would be like, I feel so bad for her. She's sad. Like she's just the most depressed, unhappy person. And so I just made it my deal. Like whenever I was working with her, like I would clean theaters with Ryan, but if she was working, I would just try to make her smile. So I used to, we would have like little hot dog coupons, and I would write stories on the hot dog coupons. And like when I had a second, I'd go out and say, I wrote you a story, just bizarre, ridiculous stories that made no sense. And I would go out, and she worked in this little glass alcove, and I would sing out there because it would like echo like crazy. So I would like do like Led Zeppelin. So I'd be like, ah, and I'd be like, ah. And just all kinds of stuff and just make her laugh. And so one day I was talking to her and she said something about, what did you do this weekend or something? I said, well, I went to church. You know, you probably know I'm a Christian. And she said, no, can you tell me about it? I said, what do you mean? She went, man, here's the deal. I went to church growing up and it did not change my life at all. But something is different about you. Like I want to learn about it. And I said, sure? She said, yeah. I said, okay. And we started getting together. We'd go to this restaurant called Perkins. Anybody? And so nothing for Buffalo, but Perkins is what does it. And so we'd go to Perkins, and I would tell her about God and what I found and whatever. And pretty soon she decided that she wanted to be a Christian. And Ryan ended up going to transferring from Miami, Ohio to Bible college to be a pastor. And this girl, man, she grew to be one of the best Christian women I've ever met. I'm married to her. And it's true. And it was because I didn't quit my job, and I didn't let the circumstances overwhelm me. I said, you know what? I get to be different because I have God in my life. And it's the same for you. This works. And you can just nod and say, oh, it's good, and leave, and nothing changes. Or you can today say, I'm going to embrace these principles. I'm going to apply them to my life. I'm going to work tomorrow different. I'm going to drive to work tomorrow different. I'm going to drive realizing this is part of God's perfect plan for my life. It's for me to have this job. For some of you, I realize you're like, I don't have a job right now. Well, remember these things. And next week, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to find a job that's the perfect fit for you. And so maybe some of you are like, I'll apply these principles, but I need to find a different job. Well, we're going to talk about that next week. And if you don't have a job, next week will be great for you. But if you have a job right now, you're going to go tomorrow and you're going to say, this part of God's perfect plan for my life. And my boss is not my boss, it's God. And you know what? God wants to bless me through my work. I'm going to ask him for that. And God wants to bless other people through me at work. And so I'm going to look for those opportunities. I'm going to let my character shine at work. I'm going to let God's love make a difference in my life so other people can see it. And maybe we even give me opportunities to talk about it. Maybe even to invite them here to Verve. You guys can do that. All right. So here's the deal. I don't know if you noticed, but we kind of flipped the service today. Do you notice there was like a conspicuous lack of songs at the beginning of service? Well, we're going to have the band come up. We're going to do the songs now. We just like doing things, changing things up here. And so if you're the kind of person who's like, I like everything to stay the same every week, it's not going to be like that here. Sorry. So we're going to do the songs now. It's kind of more of like a response. Instead of leading into the message, and it'll be kind of more of a response. And as you think about what God has said to you today and what you want to do in your life, that maybe you want to kind of break out of the typical attitude everybody has about work and find a new attitude that only God can give you, and maybe your job situation is just crappy and ugly and whatever, and we're going to ask God today to make it something beautiful and something cool, and so we're going to have the band play a couple songs, but first I'll pray and lead us into that time. God, I just think it's so cool that you, that the deal for us is that you don't just care about, you know, the spiritual part of our life. It's not just about going to church and maybe, you know, saying a prayer in the morning or reading a Bible or something, but you care about every part of our lives. And God, my prayer for my life and for the people of Verve is that we would become God stalkers, that we would want you in every part of our lives. And so that when we go to work, which is a big chunk of our lives, we would want you there with us. And we would want to have your kind of attitude about work. And so, God, would you help us through this series as we start today to transform our attitudes and our thinking about our jobs? God, that we would break out of the typical way everyone does it and realize we're different, man. If we've said yes to God, we are different, so we can have a different attitude, and we could go to our jobs and not hate them but love them and actually have them have some serious purpose bigger than a paycheck. God, thanks. And would you do that in us? God, we pray all these things in your name.